You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Fosma Moon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 584 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined today by the usual cast of characters, Mr. Seth Miller, Mr. Fosma Moon. Gentlemen.
Are we characters in our own right, or do we play different characters, like... Should we get casting and funny voices and hats and costumes and stuff?
That's a good question. I feel like we're the way we are on this show is exactly how we are, and like this is how we are.
Yeah.
Like I don't.
Good news, bad news.
Maybe we curse a little bit more.
On real life show?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you think?
Probably.
There's a lot more whining and bitching
in real life.
I mean, I can whine more. That's what Ed always tells me. I mean, if you want me to whine more, I will.
We don't have the producer rant anymore. That was always a fun.
I do like miss that. The producer rant.
Yeah.
Maybe we just need Foz's weekly app review.
Oh my God.
Where do we begin?
Well, let's talk about American and United and the merger chatter, and we'll talk about general earnings and stuff as well. Kirby wrote a letter that's now been published today. We're recording this on Monday. Tell me about that, Seth.
So this was sort of a like open statement to the world of what happened, and I guess not dispelling, but confirming the rumor that that United wanted to buy American and thought it could get away with it regulatorily. And it setting forth the justification for why, and also acknowledging that American has no interests. And there's a couple interesting bits. One quote, I was hoping to pitch that story to American, but they declined to engage and instead responded by publicly closing the door, end quote. And that refers to the statement they put out, I think, 2 weeks ago Friday, basically saying, we don't want anything to do with this. The other part of it, you know, continues. In the past, airline mergers usually have been about two struggling airlines coming together to cut costs, flights, and headcount. My aspirations could not be more different. And talks about growth and, you know, scaling up and this and that. And there's some interesting bits there. One, American kind of is struggling, certainly at a earnings level. They lost money in Q1. We'll get a bit to that. With fuel where it is, there's some challenges there, and who knows? But right, like they've had a couple pretty bad years, and maybe are starting to come out the other side of it, but maybe not. And so, you know, certainly not the most troubled airline in the U.S. industry, but definitely not in the best shape. So there's a little bit like of a questioning there, but also the he kept going and said, making sure I've got the exact quotes here. One of the sections is titled "Create Even More Value," and quote, "Price and affordability are important, but unless you think air travel is just a commodity, value matters too." Suggesting that ticket prices in 2025 are 29% cheaper, adjusted for inflation, than they were in 2019. And then goes on about how United is so good at, you know, all the service and blah, 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 and finishes that section with, quote, "We wouldn't propose a combination that would cause prices to rise for customers," unquote. And just not true.
Like, so what's the benefit then for them? Like, that's like, it's just growth.
Yeah. I guess
it's one way to get JFK slots.
It's one way to take over Chicago O'Hare.
I guess you could make the argument that if you didn't raise prices because you were taking all the money in, it would still be better. But it's just not like that can't be what they expect to happen. And anytime there is consolidation, prices go up. Like macroeconomics is pretty straightforward on this.
But anytime that United uses the words enhance or value, like I immediately go negative.
But enhance is a negative word in this industry at this point. They don't realize that, but and actually some of them do realize it. But like enhance is bad.
Yeah. And value at this point is bad. If you're selling me a value, like it's probably not something I'm gonna like.
And then the other part of it, which gets into more questionable statements, I don't want to call them outright lies, but boost the U.S. economy, create millions of jobs, and revitalize and strengthen the U.S. aircraft manufacturing industry. America is stronger when U.S. carriers flow more of the dollars of U.S. consumers to communities, employees, and manufacturing right here at home. A combined company would have created tens of thousands of new high-paying, unionized jobs with great benefits, which would have led to even more career growth opportunities. Plus, the combined airlines' need for new aircraft would have supported American manufacturing and domestic supply chains and driven even more job creation. I'm debating if combined airline is, if the combined airline is one thing or combined airlines. I guess the airline is singular. There's a grammar question there. But anyway, would the combined airline buy more Boeing than the two airlines separately will? I mean,
that you would think they would want to keep them as separate things on the books for Boeing's perspective. It's two logos rather than one.
I mean, and again, like, just because you've combined, does that mean you're going to buy more Boeing? Like, this is a weird bit that definitely seems like a lot of commentary towards regulators more than, and a little bit towards unions more than anything else. But like, I respect the position that most airline mergers have happened when one of the airlines is distressed. And so there are challenges, there's bloat, there's other things that are happening beyond just we've got good businesses and we're trying to combine them. At the same time, I'm trying to remember a major industry merger, like major two large, very large companies merging that did not result in headcount loss, consolidation, reduction of competition, reduction of options for consumers. Like, it, I can't. And Kirby's promise notwithstanding, I don't see how this is going to be that one.
Well, so Foz posted something in a chat. And it's kind of his two cents on what this means and what they're trying to do. Foz, do you want to give a synopsis of what that was?
I don't even remember what I said.
You said that this is Kirby teeing it up for investors in American to push for this.
Yeah, this is you know, since American shut the door, this is, you know, and we know that American stockholders are not thrilled with the performance of the company. Because all stockholders care about is performance of the company. We know
Hang on, they care about fiscal performance of the company.
Yeah, yes, is it fair? And we know that unions are all very self-serving as well. So they see, because they're all compensated in some portion in stock as well, if stock is not performing well and is lagging, they're not getting the same returns that they expect. So this is really a public appeal to the board and the stockholders of American.
I'm just going to say one thing, like flight attendants pilots aren't compensated in stock. The union is not compensated in stock. They benefit from a functional and a profitable company, but
do they not have stock purchase plans?
They have stock purchase plans and profit sharing, right?
Yeah.
So yes. And they're not compensated in stock. Not in the same way that an executive is.
No, and I'm not implying that they're compensated in the same way that an executive is. Stock performance impacts their bottom line at the end of the day.
Less than executives, but yes.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, the stock executives are compensated much more on stock, but the reality is stock is underperforming. That means the airline's underperforming, which means everyone's getting less. Doesn't matter where in the organization you are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it reality? I'd like to see where Kirby thinks he's going to add millions of jobs from a merger.
Right? Just tens of thousands. It's okay.
Even that.
Even tens of, they've been busy offshoring more and more, right? And we, like, just what it was a few weeks ago, United announced this big investment in a tech center in India. So that means they're moving jobs offshore in that regard. So the call centers have been offshored. The back office has now been pretty much all offshored as well.
Yeah.
It's and speaking of offshoring, one of the other arguments he made, and this is the second time I've heard him, you know, reference this. I heard it in person 7 months ago in Long Beach at a conference. And now again is, quote, today there's a big trade deficit with foreign flagged airlines. They fly about 65% of the long haul seats into our country, even though only 40% of the customers are foreign citizens. And the combined scale of United and American would be a better way to compete with foreign carriers.
See, so is he willing to give up the joint ventures in this?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's going to burn immediately. But then they don't. I don't think they give a crap, honestly. This reads. I said
they
this
have to care about the joint ventures.
I don't think he. I don't think he's thinking that way. I think he's thinking we have to do something to compete with foreign carriers, and so we'll do that through growth.
Look, the problem is this is a fundamental stroking of his own ego. Right.
That's a good way to put it.
He's running out of runway of what he could potentially do at this point to grow, to make any larger impact on America, on United than already exists.
Yes. Certainly in a step change level rather than a just like, yeah, we grew another 3% this year. Way to go, guys.
Yeah, but that's not a legacy, right?
Right. I know. I'm agreeing with you there. I get it. It's just, but yeah. Now the not counting joint ventures thing in this, in these statistics is very interesting. Also, like, the only way you get away, I'll say, with not counting joint ventures is if you are getting rid of joint ventures, is if you can serve all of the places effectively and or enough of them. And there's no way you're going to start serving all the small cities in Europe, all the small cities in Asia, all the small cities in South America, whatever. Like, you can't do that as a single U.S. airline.
Definitely well, not on Boeing planes.
Yeah. I'll make one comment, right? Like, I think what throws me off with all of this is, like, they still haven't been able to get Russian overflight, right? Like, that's still, like, this ongoing thing. And he hasn't been able to swing the administration in that direction. And I would say India flying, whether or not it's joint venture or just UA, is a huge part of their business.
Yeah. Now, the Russian overflight thing, and in some ways, I guess I'm a little surprised Trump hasn't softened on that. But yes, that is a huge deal, and is entirely tied to the situation in Ukraine. So I'm not going to change until that changes. Go ahead.
Do you think Vasu Raja put a bug in Kirby's ear?
They're hanging out together in Dallas, and this is what came up.
I mean, right. He like left American. We've heard he's going to United, right? As like a contract.
He did like a contract consultant thing, right?
Yeah. Did he like show up and was like, by the way, you guys, there's probably an appetite for this in American, and he got it completely wrong, which wouldn't surprise me.
I think this is, he doesn't want to be neck and neck with Delta. I think he just wants to jump over Delta and leave it in such a spot where Delta can't catch up.
That keeps coming back to the ego question, is what you're saying. It's coming back to the ego thing. Because he's had now two articles or three articles written about how he's brought the airline to be equal with Delta, in competition with Delta.
That is what he's measuring against. The reality is United has a much better route network, right? Yeah. But the thing where they're lacking is their credit card revenue.
Yeah.
Which is funny because like United has significantly expanded on that, but just on that enough, I guess.
Well, and United used to have a much more powerful credit card program years ago than Delta. Delta's just been able to grow, whereas United has been flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about American just real quickly. They lost money this quarter. What's the total number? Do we know yet?
Q1. What do I have in the notes here? I didn't put it in the notes here. I think it's 300 something million.
They lost 300 million. They expect 4 billion in additional fuel costs this year from the Iran conflict
and the important part there is the statement they're recovering some of it but not all of it.
Okay.
See if I can find that exact number because it would be nice to get it right. But yeah, it's not good.
And then American's also building a new club in Nashville, three times the size, indoor and outdoor balconies. This kind of is like lagging in like the entire Nashville market piece. Like Nashville as a city has like exploded when it comes to growth. And so maybe American's catching up there. They already had a big operation.
Okay. American has been had like a, not a hub, but a focus city. So that's always been one of their major operations. I don't know if they're number one or number two behind Southwest there, but 382 million in losses for the quarter for Q1, which like some of that is going to be fuel related, but not really. The fuel spike didn't hit until really very much the end of the quarter.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a, that's a rough spot to be.
Yeah. And then United is calling out a 13% increase in premium cabin revenue and a 7% increase in basic economy, with total passenger revenue increasing about 11%.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out if basic economy increasing 7% against a backdrop of everything overall increasing 11% is actually good news or bad news. Right? Like and maybe it's because you start from a higher, but like starting from a higher base shouldn't matter from a percentage perspective. But like if I made $100 million in one and $50 million in the other, and one went up 13%, and one went up 7%, I should be happier about the 13% than the 7%. Like it sounds to me like basic economy is not growing as fast as the other segments, but they kind of want it to be. I don't know. I can't figure that one out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking here. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't brag about it. Like, I think that's showing a weakening.
Yeah. I mean, market. I guess the counterpoint is like, it's actually growing slower. So our premium is still driving, you know, top line, the top line growth is coming from the premium stuff, not the, basic. And that's actually still good for our business and our differentiation as a premium player.
Yeah. I feel like,
but I don't understand it.
I don't get it, but I would take that if I was an investor, I would take that as a warning sign that you've seen an increase in basic economy, even if you've seen an increase in premium cabin revenue. Like that's the end of Q1, right? That you're pulling that up. Like to me, that's like signaling something's going on in Q2 potentially that is negative. Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe, right? Q1 is still, depending on when in Q1 they're buying their spring break season.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The U.S. government still teasing a Spirit bailout, one of the two?
Sure. Let's go with that. They're talking about a $500 million-ish spend for Spirit. There's also maybe $2.5 billion for all of the, call it low-cost carriers. Maybe Frontier and Avelo have gotten in on the ask. And I would imagine there's a few others that want to gain access to them. Anyone, JetBlue, I'm sure, would be happy to take a little bit of cash. Similar to the CARES Act with COVID, and unlike some other bailouts in, you know, over time in history, these seem to be conditioned on the government gaining warrants, access to acquire shares in the company, ownership stake. So if it works out, the government would, you know, profit from it directly rather than indirectly of the, 18,000 people are still employed and paying taxes.
So wait a minute, given how Spirit has been behaving in the last 18 months, how is this a potentially good investment?
It's not, at all. Unless you're, I mean, I could, are you trying to buy a new airline so that you can run a commercial operation for all of your domestic and, near flight government operation needs? And DHS is trying to buy 737s. Why not just buy Spirit and have an airline that runs it?
But it's not 737s then.
Well, they'd get over that, I'm sure, because they have a whole airline now. Now it's a terrible idea, at many levels. The other thing about it that I find interesting is there's an argument being made by, I'll say, an industry insider, someone that's on the lobbying side of the industry, that it's the government's fault that fuel prices spiked. And so the government should provide a cushion to businesses directly impacted by that because, you know, Spirit isn't failing on its own. It's failing because the fuel prices spiked. And that's both is and is not true. But because it's the government's fault that fuel prices spiked, the government should offset that impact in the near term until things stabilize so that, you know, companies that are so directly impacted don't suffer for it. And like, you could make the same argument that American Airlines needs money as a result of that. You can make the argument that I need money as a result of that because my costs for fuel have gone up. My fuel needs are relatively low compared to an airline, but like everything is impacted by this, right? Transportation for food, like they're just like the knock-on effects of the situation in Iran and the fact that Strait of Hormuz has been closed for how many weeks now is very real across the board. And so trying to single out airlines as needing to see some sort of subsidy or bailout or benefit, I find very disingenuous. And also, like,
especially because they're talking about the government taking an ownership stake and then being able to sell it later. Like, we're sort of trying to make the government become an active player in the economy instead of, or in the market, instead of like a traditional free market economy. And we're not a free market economy. I get that. There's lots of regulatory and whatever, but the government becoming an active player in it sure seems like a thumb or two on the scale.
I don't like the idea just from, I think it's a bad investment. Like, I think it's, if you're not going to change the leadership at Spirit, which it didn't, nothing I read said we're going to change the direction of Spirit.
The president of the United States has experience as a CEO of an airline, Steve, and maybe he'll do that instead.
Yeah. Okay.
Trump shuttle. Solid, yeah. Profitable operation.
It's great. I love it. New bases, LaGuardia. It's going to be amazing. I don't see anything good about this. I think, you know, I saw some people were saying on Blue Sky, hey, this really should be, you know, JetBlue and Spirit should have gone through, and this, we wouldn't be where we're at. And I completely disagree. I think we would have ended up without two airlines in a bad position. We would have ended up with one singular airline in a very bad position. And this is just keeping one airline sort of afloat.
Yeah. I mean, certainly if it had been the $4.5 billion deal or whatever it was, by the time the courts were done with it all, you know, Spirit's collapse had certainly started at that point. And so investors would have taken a lot more money out of the system directly.
Do you think this is opening the door for a general bailout, in air quotes, for the entire industry in the U.S.? Where
aviation industry?
Yeah, where they reimburse the fuel costs.
God, I hope not.
Like, I just have this like inkling in the back of my mind that this could be what is coming.
I mean, that is certainly what I think the low cost carriers are aiming for. Like this sort of broader $2.5 billion deal that Frontier and Avelo and I don't know who else is in on. I can certainly see a push to get there.
Yeah.
And that drive. But again, are you going to not also extend it to bigger airlines? Like, does Southwest deserve the same benefit?
Yeah. Arguably, they're spending more on fuel because they're flying more flights.
Yeah. And they just painted a super crazy ass Independence One 250th anniversary celebration plane. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, I mean, the reality is, like, if you only give struggling airlines the cash, then you're rewarding mismanagement.
Well, that's why you take an ownership stake, though, so at least you profit from it on the other side.
Maybe. I don't think Spirit's going to, like, all we keep doing is kicking the can down the road with Spirit.
Like, Spirit just needs to die, is what you're saying.
Yeah. It's time.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree. I just don't think they're in a place where they can recover. Even if they got cash, I don't think they recover.
Yeah. They have definitely shrunk to a significant extent. They're half the size, mileage wise, they were. Or operations-wise, they were a year or two ago. They're definitely continued to shrink down significantly. I think it's a question of, is there a base operating level at which a smaller airline can regain its footing and grow again? And then you get back to the, you know, a couple of years ago, Kirby comment about LCCs or Ponzi schemes, and they only work if they're growing. And I think there is a way LCCs can operate just fine without, you know, indefinite growth. I think any business can have it work without indefinite growth, but there are definitely some challenges there.
So I would say, just kind of we can not belabor this, but the other piece of Spirit is you've got a bunch of flights that disappeared overnight, almost like the Spirit drawdown was severe. Right. When they first announced it, they killed a bunch of markets. I anecdotally, and this is something you could go look up, Seth, probably you probably have the data to do it. I bet the flight prices did not increase and that those flyers just stopped flying.
I mean, flight prices. This is a tough one because you got to compare pilots. But I think you're probably right. I think we didn't see. Well, those flyers just didn't fly. Makes sense because there wasn't capacity to backfill. There wasn't. You know, there weren't empty seats somewhere else that could be filled. Certainly not enough of them.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, a significant chunk of it just didn't fly. And then we've talked about this before, right? Low cost and ultra low cost carriers, the competition is often the couch, not full service airlines.
I think I think it proves it out a little bit. And
yeah, what I would say is though, like, there has been roughly industry wide, and actually, I think I want to say like this month I saw the data, year month to date, TFA screenings for the month of April are at par year over year.
So they haven't grown.
But so you say, okay, well, you know, they've taken a huge, Spirit has taken a chunk of capacity out of the market. Others have filled it a little bit, but there hasn't been growth in the market per se. And there was sort of an expectation of maybe 7%, 3 to 7% growth was sort of where things were been started at one point.
Yeah.
Or expected, I should say.
Yeah. Let's talk about our favorite program, Alaska, Hawaii.
So, listen, they pulled off PSS integration without any notable catastrophes.
Okay.
I think that's worth celebrating.
Okay. That's all you got. And they're getting a single credit card? Is that what's coming soon?
Yeah. Bank of America will be their single partner for Atmos Rewards credit card. So the sort of like American teased out or dragged out the will it keep a second supplier or not. Eventually, we finally acknowledge that that's not going to happen.
I got to say, Bank of America might be the literal worst bank to have a credit card through. It's so bad.
That's not true. Second worst.
Second, who's the first?
Built cardless.
Oh, God. We're never getting invited to interview them. all right. And then Alaska posted a $193 million loss. And $230 million of share buybacks.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
And I'm sure there's a reason for it, but yeah, not a good look.
The thing I find interesting is there's a lot of people screaming, well, fuel costs were up 17% in the quarter. Fuel costs are roughly 20 to 30% of their operating expenditures. So, but that 17% didn't hit until, like you said earlier, later in the quarter.
And again, I haven't looked, I didn't read the full details of where they, you know, it spiked at the end, but fuel prices could have been up enough anyways that like it was, you know, had been trending higher and then spiked. So I don't know 100% on that front. But one of the interesting things is Hawaii gets its fuel from Singapore.
Yeah.
They tanker it in because historically it's been cheaper that way, which baffles my mind in so many ways. And because fuel has spiked in Singapore because they can't get any raw supply from the Middle East, now they're tankering more from the West Coast. And so, you know, it's still going up, but not quite as up. And the whole thing has shifted there in terms of where the fuel price benefits are and whatnot. I mean, I keep coming back to nothing. No oil has left the Middle East, has left the Gulf in like 6 weeks now, and the last ship carrying any of it has made it to the Europe last week or so. And like at some point in the next few weeks, even if it opened tomorrow, if the Strait opened tomorrow and things were flowing smoothly, like there's still going to be impacts, and it seems unlikely it's going to open tomorrow, and it's going to take a while for it. Whenever things do reopen, it's going to take a while for distribution to pick up again and things to flow smoothly. And so maybe I'm a little Chicken Little here, but like, I'm wondering if we aren't underreacting to the significance of there not being fuel anymore.
I think we're underreacting. I mean, from a refined product standpoint, right? We might have a decent amount of crude, and we have the whole stockpile, right?
National. The U.S. Yeah.
The U.S. does. But other places don't. Like, that's just not something that exists because they buy only refined products. They don't buy raw oil. They don't buy unrefined product. So for them, yeah, I would be flipping out right now.
Japan has a stockpile too.
Japan has it too. Yeah, so there's a few countries that do, but like from an unrefined product and refineries standpoint, if you aren't a country that has its own refineries, I would be worried, because if you're buying refined product only, it's going to be limited in the next few weeks. At some point, we're just going to hit the.
And we could, you know, and you can say it's only an issue for those countries, but like, we do live in a global economy, so I have some concerns. Also, by the way, like, fertilizer,
yeah,
has a lot of nitrates and petroleums and whatever in it, and we're not getting that out either.
So
I talked about the bromide gas last time, didn't I? Last show? Did I talk about
that? I don't think so.
Yeah. So bromine is critical to make bromide a gas, called bromide gas. It's used in the etching of chips. And there's only like three places in the world that actually produce significant amounts of bromine. Two of them are in Israel. Both of those ports are currently closed. And that's critical to actually make chips, like any kind of chip.
Integrated circuits, yeah. And also helium.
Yeah, and helium.
A byproduct of natural gas, right?
Yep, correct.
And so a lot of that comes from Qatar and the environs.
Yeah. The good news with helium is that we use a lot less than we used to for the things that need it,
yeah.
Like MRI devices and stuff. So, crazy time.
Does having the helium in a ship like make the ship lighter?
No. This isn't like, oh, we can just float it. We can just float it over the strait. Is that what you're thinking? I don't think you can displace that much metal weight. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a physicist, but
how many Mylar balloons do we need to attach to the ship for it to just float away?
Yeah. Seth dreams in the movie Up. That's what he dreams. He's like, everything is that. Tell me about Southwest free wine program.
Oh, sippin' ship, they're calling it. So this came up a couple weeks ago. They announced it when they launched service to Santa Ana.
Okay.
And at the time that was the only airport where it was going live. Now it's basically all of their airports in California, Washington, Oregon, maybe Idaho also. I know that Alaska includes Idaho. Yeah. I think Southwest maybe doesn't, but either way, basically you can get a free, you can check a case of wine for free. And the fine print on it is still weird. It talks about being in the original packaging, but also must be in a like seal in an unopened box. So I'm guessing original packaging just means like the original bottles unopened. And then you let the agent inspect that the box is properly packaged. And then I guess you have tape with you and you seal it up, at the gate or at the check-in counter and drop it off. But nice little win. It's definitely a trying to compete with Alaska on the West Coast thing. And especially now that Southwest doesn't allow bags to fly free. Kind of necessary.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice, I guess. I've used the Alaska feature one time.
Yeah.
For family members. And they were coming up here and they bought a bunch of wine. So it is nice. But I wouldn't call it industry changing.
Well, first of all, they're not the first to do it.
Yeah.
But it's a nice little benefit. Let's give an airline some credit for doing a nice thing for its passengers without, admittedly, after taking away all the free bags and adding seat assignment fees and all the other changes. But
very true. All right. Anything else you guys want to chat about? No.
Okay.
Well, for our Patreon supporters, we're going to talk about Gaul and Avianca. We're going to talk about Flying Blue. Let's talk about some JetBlue boarding groups. American doubling Caracas ops. I'm going to talk about rental cars because that's the mood I'm in today. Aeroplan deval and some launch troubles for Seth. So stick around for that if you're a Patreon supporter. If not, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time. Happy travels.
Take care.
See you later.